Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for Tuesday, August 8th, 2023. Glad that you're all here tonight. Hopefully your summer is going well. We're going to pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago with Dr. Mosley and the Laws of Life, his teachings on that particular subject, which is a rather large one at that. I'll let him explain that once we get started tonight. But before we get going tonight, and before I do the roll, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Biner. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings, protection, and truth that has come to light in the past week. Truly, your divine plan is unfolding before us. Be with us as this week as more truths shall pass before us in remarkable order. Strengthen us in faith, hope, and love to continue on in our walk with you, Father. Help us to plant seeds of liberty round about us so that it will be a bountiful harvest of patriots to soon emerge in America from sea to shining sea. We pray for a dome of protection around us, our family, our friends, and our true presidents. Heavenly Father, the enemy cannot penetrate through. We also ask you to send your holy angels to war against any spirit that opposes your divine plan, Father, or any spiritual attacks against us. Grace us with your healing light, frequency, and power to your children who have need of it, and cleanse us in the blood of Yeshua, that we may be whole and sinless in your sight, Father. Bring your glory and your presence in our lives, Heavenly Father, on this call, for we are humbled at your kingdom and your power and your glory that reigns forever. God save the Republic. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 All right. Thank you, sir, for that tonight. And to quickly go through the roll before we get into Dr. Mosley's teaching for tonight, Representative Rockwell is present this evening. Representative Reed, you with us?
Representative Reed from Nebraska is present. Thank you.
And Representative Schmidt?
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
Oh, thank you, sir. Your voice sounds a bit different tonight than it normally does. You must have a different phone.
No, I'm using a different laptop.
Oh, okay.
The one that you normally use is down right now, so I got to use the backup.
At least you got a backup to use, I guess.
Yep, that's true.
All right, Representative Binder, you with us tonight?
I, Representative Mark Binder, is present. Thank you.
All right, thanks. And Representative Cox? All right, it looks like we've got four representatives representing four states tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and give the floor over to Dr. Mosley tonight to get our teaching started this evening. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The laws of life, absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. As most of you are aware, before we can refer to a law of life as being such, we have to begin in Genesis and trace that law of life and develop it as an absolute throughout the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament before we can refer to it as a law of life. Oftentimes, hundreds of scriptures will come together to establish each and every one of these laws of life. We take the position that these laws of life apply to every aspect, every component of life, including but not limited to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, which we have been discussing for the last couple of months, and we're going to spend some additional time on it on this evening, and going to invite you to participate with your questions and comments as we go along, as opposed to waiting until I conclude the presentation. The systems of the world system, and the kingdom of God. We've talked somewhat about the economic system, which we'll probably have to go back to and add some other categories. We've had some discussion concerning the social system, which we will also go back to time to time and add additional categories. We've been discussing the political system for the last several weeks, and we're going to bring forth some additional information on the political system as we go through our teaching on this evening. We've been drawing from a number of articles that have been written on the various systems under the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And the political system is one that most of us have no idea how deeply entrenched, of course, including myself, how deeply entrenched we are in this system as it relates to the world's values as opposed to the values of the kingdom of God. Now, as I go through some of the aspects of this article, as I indicated before, and if you recall in our last session, we had a live session with respect to some questions and some comments as we went along. And again, we invite you to do the same thing on this evening. So the article we will be taking excerpts from this evening is The Kingdom of God and the Kingdom of the World. Now, we have had some discussion from an article entitled Five Differences Between the Kingdom of God and the Kingdom of the World. And in our last session, we had some discussion on 12 reasons for keeping the kingdom of God separate from politics. Well, let's see what we have tonight. And I perceive that it is going to open up some additional conversation regarding these various kingdoms. And I will give you the source for this message as we go along tonight, the source of this particular article, I should say. First author starts with the statement, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Then he goes on to say there are two kingdoms in this world. That is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. The author goes on to say, let's look at this passage in Mark 10, 42 through 44. You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. And this is the point he's making. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Jesus is saying, this is how it is in the world. It's about power, it's about rule, and it's about authority. But it is to be different in my kingdom, referring to the kingdom of God. It's all about being humble and service to others. Now, ask the question, how many of us take the position that what we're to be doing as Kingdom of God representatives, being characterized as being humble and service to others? Well, I don't question that concerning those who are on this call, but many in the believing community are arrogant, and the service is primarily to themselves and to those who are close to them as opposed to service to others. These two kingdoms are fundamentally different from each other. He goes on to say different rulers, different destinies, and different ways of acting. That's why Jesus says, my kingdom, I'm going to emphasize this. This is why Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36. It's of a different order. Now, sometimes we think these two kingdoms fit together like this. This is one nation with the kingdom of God as the spiritual head, and with the civic part, the kingdom of this world, as the other half, two halves of a whole. But this doesn't do justice to the differences we see in the two kingdoms. And Jesus' statement, my kingdom is not of this world. Instead of two halves of a whole, what I want to say, this is the author speaking, is that there are actually two complete wholes, two distinct nations, two societies or political realms, the kingdom of God and all the nations that make up the kingdom of the world. They're distinct. They're different. They operate differently. Both are complete wholes in and of themselves. Just as the world and each nation in the world has leaders, so the church has leaders. Just as the world has those that care for the needy, so the church has deacons. Just as the nations collect taxes, the church has free will offerings. Just as the nations have criminal justice systems, so the church is to have a loving system of admonition and discipline. And I'm going to pause there for a moment. I suggest to you that system of justice that is set up in the kingdom of God are the laws of life. And these are the kingdom laws. Let's go on. Who are we? Citizens of the kingdom of God. Or in the words of Paul, our citizenship is in heaven. May I repeat that? Our citizenship is not of this earth, not of this world system, but our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. What are we? A new holy nation, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9. Where are we? For now we are living in the midst of other nations in the kingdom of this world. We are in the world, but not of it. I'm going to repeat that. We are in the world, but not of the world. John 17. We live in and amongst the kingdom of this world, but we are not of the worldly kingdom. We are submitted to Jesus as our king. And so often, in that we have to deal with the world on a daily basis, on a regular basis, it's hard to recognize that we're not of the kingdom of the world. We're infiltrated with thoughts and ideas and concepts from the world system on a consistent basis. And to remind ourselves that we're not of the world system sometimes may be challenging. We are exiles in our various nations, 1 Peter 1:1. The people of God are strangers and exiles on the earth seeking a homeland. They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one, Hebrews 11:13-16. We are waiting for Jesus to return and to establish his kingdom community over the whole earth. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. We want to continue a little further with this writing. So this is our political identity. I think that today we easily lose sight of this and allow worldly political identities to creep in and take over. Instead of seeing ourselves as citizens of God's kingdom here on earth in exile amidst the kingdom of this world and its nations, we begin to see ourselves, I'm going to emphasize this point, we begin to see ourselves as Democrats or Republicans or independents, simply as a part of the kingdom of this world. Then he goes on to say, any comments, any questions at this point before we go deeper? Then he goes on to say, don't be partisan in your politics. Now, some of us, out of Christian conviction, don't vote. We feel that voting goes beyond what Jesus has commissioned us to do, and that it easily gets us off track from the mission he has given to us. Some of us, out of Christian conviction, do vote. We feel we can help to do some good with it. You can make your choice. But what I'm saying is, if you do participate, recognize this. There is no party or candidate that fully represents Jesus and the values of the kingdom of God, which is our nation. Yet, these are all kingdom values, my friends. But we have to choose between them when we vote. So some will choose one way and some another. And a part of this has to do with whether we think they will actually do what they say on a given issue, or are we being manipulated? Also, it has to do with whether we think a single issue trumps all others, or whether we take several together and vote based on these. And so there will be much disagreement. As Christians are honestly trying to use their faith to guide them, and yet coming to different conclusions, can you imagine that? Question mark. Christians coming to different conclusions on things. So I say beware of partisan politics, which says there is only one right, which says there's only one right answer, and it is obvious, and everyone else is an ignoramus. What I'm saying is, Jesus calls us to be at peace with one another. Mark 9:50. We can disagree, but we must be at peace with each other. This situation is like a professional baseball team preparing for the World Series who can't get focused on their job because they are arguing about which local little league team is the best. Here we are trying to establish God's kingdom on this earth, and we become divided by the politics of the kingdom of this world, which is passing away. We also need to be aware of partisan politics because it can be a stumbling block for others. Jesus warns us against causing others to stumble, Mark 9:42. Don't let partisan politics cause someone to turn away from the gospel because they aren't first willing to accept your worldly politics. This is strong language, and I recognize this, and I'm sharing it with you not to suggest that I'm in agreement or in disagreement, but it's food for thought for each and every one of us. So what I am saying, this is the author speaking again, is that if you choose to be involved in the political process, do so in a way that doesn't bring harm to the church or the cause of Jesus. Set aside partisanship and simply vote as you think best based upon your Christian values, not just your self-interest, and make your choice with humility, knowing others will make different choices. Put your trust in God, not princes, or princesses, for that matter. As Psalm 146:3 says, put not your trust in princes, and a son of man in whom there is no salvation. Politicians will promise you the world. They and they alone will save the day. But as our text tells us, don't look to them to solve the ultimate problems of the world. And I'm giving you enough to digest. The article goes on and on and on. But the point that is being made and what resonated with me is the fact that I'm of a different kingdom. You are of a different kingdom. We are of the kingdom of God, not of the kingdom of... Hello? Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yes.
Okay. We are the kingdom of God and not of the kingdom of this world. Although we're surrounded each and every day by worldly values, we are to remember who we are and whose we are. And sometimes it's a challenge in order to differentiate between whether or not our activities are more consistent. And this is what I'm endeavoring to do on a daily basis now, as we get deeper in this study, dealing with the various systems of the world, of the world system, of the world kingdom, I should say, the economic, the social, the political, the educational, and the religious. I'm endeavoring to evaluate on a regular basis which one am I demonstrating most as I go through my daily activities. Are my thoughts more consistent with the world system than the kingdom of God? Are my actions economically more inclined to be determined to look more like the world system? Certainly the political system. The political system works in a very, very devious way. And what I mean by that is that their politics in some way or another involve in every transaction of life. Politics, as you heard me say before, involved in the home. There's certain political advantages that surface in the family situation, the family relationship. On the job, there's political activities embedded therein. And oftentimes, these political activities are so subtle that we don't recognize it as being part of the world system. So what I'm asking each of us to do on a day, on a regular basis, to evaluate, to examine our thoughts, our actions, and to ask the Spirit of God to reveal to us whether or not those actions, whether or not those words, whether or not those thoughts are more consistent with the kingdom of God as opposed to the kingdom of this world. That being said, Mr. Speaker, I yield for the time being.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mosley, for that. Definitely causes us to think about which particular kingdom we're operating in, and I know kind of where I come from as I base those kinds of things on what Scripture says and how it falls in line with that, and that can be a good guide to kind of where you think and how you do your day-to-day life in the world. So just a quick comment. But I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for anybody else that has any comments or questions of Dr. Mosley.
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
I got a few things I'm going to cover. Well, you go back to the Founding Fathers. When they were looking at setting up this government, they did research on the British political parties, and they made the decision that they were not going to have political parties. But unfortunately, let's see, what is it? How the heck is it that goes in the unscrupulous, the unprincipled men decided to go ahead, go rogue, and created them anyways. And best example out there, if you go to George Washington's farewell address, he spends like several, I think, was it about five paragraphs or so on what's called the spirit of party. And basically in those paragraphs, he foretold the dangers of allowing political parties to come into existence. So the founding fathers knew full well that, you know, we can't have political parties. And another thing is there, the way the republic was set up, that everyone that works for the government, it doesn't matter if you're a president, United States president, or congressman, or judge, or even school teacher, you work for the government. Your job is to serve the people. And also another thing there is we don't need politicians. What we need are statesmen and stateswomen to serve the interests of the people and not their own interests. And with that, I yield the floor.
All right. Thank you, sir. Any comments about that, Dr. Mosley?
Oh, there's some excellent observations. And that should be not just verbalized, but also submitted in writing, where it's going to use it as part of what we're called to do with respect to the world system and the kingdom of God system. Very wise thing. And receive as such.
All right. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
This is Representative Mark Binder. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that political parties, I agree with Representative Schmidt, political parties are a divisional tactic. You know, divide and conquer with the enemy would be using for the cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men and women nowadays. And unfortunately, the church has similar situations with denominations, which can be used to divide people as well. And so if we all just read the Bible and did our best to understand it and to talk about it and that type of thing without putting man's traditions in there, that'd be wonderful. I also wanted to add to the kingdom, the kingdom you're talking about, to God's kingdom. It says God's kingdom is within you. And that's Luke 17:20-21, which reads, "Some of the Pharisees asked Jesus, 'When will the kingdom of God come?' Jesus answered, 'God's kingdom is coming, but not in a way that you will be able to see with your eyes. People will not say, "Look, here it is," or "There it is," because God's kingdom is within you." And I would have to say what that means to me is God, if your heart is right, using the law of nature and nature's God and the Bible and God's principles, that's where your kingdom lies. Now, of course, it'll manifest later on, in history, after the White Throne Judgment, basically. But anyway, thank you for an excellent teaching, Dr. Mosley. I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Binder. Thank you, sir.
All right, anybody else have any more questions or comments?
This is Representative David Schmidt. I'd like to add a little on to what Representative Binder said.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. But anyway, what it's going to take is we, the American people, have to repent for all the evil, filthy wickedness that is going on in this world, and we need to remove all of this evil, filthy wickedness that is going on in America. We need to remove it from this country, plain and simple. And with that, I yield the floor.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, Dr. Mosley, if you have some closing comments in that as well, go ahead and give your contact info. That would be something you can go ahead and do if you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One comment I would like to make, and the two comments that we just received were very timely and very on point. And I know that these sessions are recorded, and what was said by these two representatives speak right to the issues that we're dealing with now. And it's just good to know that you have a recording that has capitalized what they've had to say because it goes right to the point of the issue, especially as it deals with the political system of this world and how believers have been blindfolded to some extent as to how deeply entrenched we have come to be, how deeply entrenched the church has come to be as relates to the factionalism that is going on with respect to various positions dealing with the political arena, as opposed to recognizing, and this is something that has been brought out by both those representatives that shared, rather than recognizing that we're part of a separate and an alternative kingdom, and we should operate as such. Email MosleyJustice1@AOL.com. Our ministry phone number is 866-950-5858. Websites, Justice Ministries, INTL, abbreviation international, .com, and lawsoflifecourttv.com. And on our website, we have information concerning our availability for speaking engagements, our availability with respect to the books that we have published thus far with more to come. And there's other information concerning what we're endeavoring to do by and through Justice Ministries. One of the episodes that we have shared on Brighteon.tv deals with the issue, and this is a little off point, but with the speaker's permission, I'm going to share this. But so I hear so many believers say, I have no idea what God has called me to do. But throughout Scripture, God has revealed to those who belong to Him specifically what our purpose or what that person's purpose is in life. And I share this in all humility for anyone on the call who may be listening to a recording of this call at some other time. I had a similar question. And through Scripture, God revealed to me, and God is not a respected person, but He revealed to me specifically what I was called to do. Going back to Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses was told that he was to teach the children of Israel the Mosaic Law. And then, if you recall, Moses was sitting on various matters, various cases that were brought before him. And he was to adjudicate those cases and bring back a just adjudication of each case. Why do I share that? I share it from the point of your kingdom peoples, those who belong to the kingdom of God, I should say. God has a specific purpose for you. And He will reveal that purpose and also make you aware of how to go about carrying out the purpose He has called us to do. So again, that was a little off base, but it was just on my heart to share from the point of view, and that goes back somewhat to the law of notice and warning. God will give each of us, if He has not already, and I say this to anyone who may have an opportunity to listen to the recording of this session. God is not a respecter of persons. If you're one who has a question as to what God has called you to do, together with what He has called you to do in the kingdom of God, He has and will reveal it. With that being said, I wait.
All right. Thank you, sir. No, that was all good. Just, you know, kind of helps people to understand that they do need to have a direction for sure. That's all fine. It's all part of why we're doing the call the way we're doing it, for people to learn and people to dig in and to study further. The only way that you learn, the only way you find your purpose is by searching yourself, because Scripture tells us that you search out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and that definitely applies here for sure. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
With that, does anybody have any closing comments for tonight?
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank Judge Mosley again for coming on and teaching us and sharing with us and helping us to grow and learn the law of nature and nature's God's laws and in a way that we can understand them and to elaborate on that. And I thank you so much, sir, and I yield.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor.
And, yes, you have the floor.
Well, one of the things that there last several years, in addition to being on the Congress calls, I've been on the judicial calls with headed by Justice Roger Waters, and he has done a lot of really good presentations on the church and, you know, straight out on biblical law and a lot of things like that there, and I really learned a lot from him, and just had to bring that there. Like, for example, Sunday night he did a presentation on the pyramids of Giza. That was really, really interesting, and I think Representative Binder was on that call Sunday night as well. But that was really, really a good call, and with that, I yield the floor.
All right. Thank you, sir. Are those calls recorded, do you know?
Well, not all of them are recorded, but the Sunday night's one was, because this was one he felt that this was a really important one when you get the, when you read through the whole presentation and everything else, because some of the years and stuff like that ties in, I think, what is it there, it ties in very important to be the year 2027. Is going to be very significant. And this all ties into all the measurements, the way the way with the construction of the pyramid Khufu or Cheops. But very interesting that there, how the inside part is, that when you go up to the King's Chamber and the Queen's Chamber, how that there is constructed, the passageway. It's very interesting how that's constructed and how it ties in to history. And like, for example, one chapter going 33 inches in diameter. Well, 33 inches represents the number of years that Yeshua lived his life. And like the original outside measurements, the four sides that there in pyramid inches represents, you add all four together, you wind up with the circumference at the equator of the Earth. Yeah, there's a whole ton of different connections like that. And with that, I yield the floor.
Very interesting. Thanks for those tidbits, for sure. It's good to know that it's recorded as well. Anybody else have any closing comments?
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to add to what Representative Schmidt said. Yes, it was a very excellent call, and lots of mathematics involved, and I believe the statement was made. Well, first of all, Justice Waters actually got a six-hour tour to go in the pyramid of Giza and around the pyramid area and stuff when he was in the military, so he's got firsthand knowledge of what was going on. There were three or four other archaeologists that went in and they measured inside the temple to get all the numbers that Representative Schmidt was talking about. And definitely worth your while to check it out. And I yield on that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
This is Representative Doug Reed. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
As always, this is very educational and very interesting, and I thank you, Dr. Mosley. I yield.
All right. Anybody else? All right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative David Schmidt making the motion to adjourn until Tuesday, August 22nd at 8 p.m. Central And with that, I yield.
This is Representative Mark
Doug Reed. I second.
Well, looks like you've got a second and a third, so that'll definitely be good. We've got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight and meet back in a couple of weeks. And before we go, Representative Reed, you want to close us in prayer tonight?
I would be honored. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you very much for bringing us here safely. And we are witnessing the actions of the Lord's work and God's work in defeating the evil that has been so prevalent in the political system of the world. And we thank you very much. And again, we thank you in your name. And amen.
All right.
Jesus, amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
All right. Everybody enjoy. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody. And everyone be blessed.
Yes.
You bet.